This
is After Sunday.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of After Sunday. I am Elissa, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined yet again by Alex.
Old faithful still in the seat.
So today we are wrapping up our June study of revival in the community. And the key passage of verses we're in today is Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And many people know this passage as like the least of these. Whatever you did to those, the least of these you did unto me. So that's the passage of verses we are working with. And the overarching theme I really thought of today's lesson was service. And the first point that Craig made was serving demonstrates tangible love and compassion. Alex, why do you think service in that manner is important?
I think service at any level demonstrates love. I think that's a core element of why it's commanded so much throughout Scripture. And as you and I were looking at verses, you know, before we came, you know, on air here, there's so many through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. It's a core aspect of who we're called to be. Even, you know, the verse in James, faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. We have to show our love. It doesn't matter how many times you say something. People don't believe it until they see it. And it doesn't matter if you're serving a husband-wife relationship, right? When you serve each other, when one of you does something simple, you know, refills your glass at dinner, takes the dishes out, does something very small, mm-hmm. It shows I'm here for you and I care for you. So I think just down to its very core elemental level, service demonstrates love because of the action itself.
Absolutely. And going back to what we talked about last week, the Acts 2 church served together. And because they were active together and they gave to the poor and they sold possessions and then they gave to all of those that were in need, they grew. Their numbers grew. So service has a direct impact, has a tangible impact that we're going to be able to see.
And I think it's really timely that this point was brought up. I had lunch with an elder of another congregation here in town on Friday of this week. We went over to McAllister's. He was giving me some tips, you know, being the new deacon of education here. So I talked to him, and he referenced a study done by Harding University. And it showed, you know, where do churches spend their money and their time and what promotes growth. And one of the things was small groups that we do here. It's you know, second or third on the list. But the small groups used for service or used for evangelism, not necessarily for fellowship. So we see small groups used as fellowship, but people who serve together, you've got a common goal and a mission. And if you mm-hmm. think, what is your bond with somebody that you just hang out with and have fun? And what's your bond with somebody that you've done something with, whether it be at work, whether it be on a sports team, or I'm trying to think of your interest here, musical and art performance, somebody that you put on a play or production something with. You had to work through things with them. You had mm-hmm. to struggle with them. You had to run lines or run plays or whatever you're competing in. You struggled through something. That creates a deeper bond than just going out and getting a cup of coffee, in my opinion. And I think there's research to back that up.
And that service that we were talking about, it often needs to occur outside of our comfort zone. So one of the key points of the lesson was that those in the margins of society, those that society has forgotten, those are the people we need to serve. I mean, it's where Jesus spent most of his ministry, was serving those on the outskirts of society. And that's going to require us to get out of our comfort zone. And it's easy to get stuck in your routine and the day-to-day. And, you know, I go here, I do there, and we're busy. We were talking as we were walking in here, how busy that we seem to be. But we need to break out of our routine of the day-to-day to serve on the periphery.
Absolutely. And even the crowd that you come into contact with, it doesn't matter who it is. You never know. Megan and I were talking about this. We took our little one to the zoo yesterday. And you look around and there's people and you kind of start judging based on what they're wearing or, mm-hmm. you know, how they're acting or something like that. And then Megan looked at me and she said, well, we did just kind of roll out of bed. I threw on a hat. I didn't even take a shower or anything before we went. And I was like, we're probably not seeing these people their best, but we're making judgments mm-hmm. based on one little glance that we've got at them. So getting out of your comfort zone and talking to somebody who maybe doesn't look like you or dress mm-hmm. like you, or maybe is not even acting like you at the time. You may have caught somebody just at a weird moment. So, but breaking that cycle and getting out to new people, it's never a bad thing.
That's a really great point, and it actually leads really well into one of the next key points that we heard about, which was when we're serving people, we need to be looking at those folks and focus on restoring dignity and really building relationships. Oftentimes those people that need our service the most, they probably don't look like us. They don't smell like us. They are in probably a completely different situation than we are financially. Maybe they don't have a home to go to. We need to first meet their needs and treat them with respect. Like, they are human beings. They are God's children too. Just because they've been given a different set of circumstances in life than we have doesn't mean that we need to treat them any differently. If anything, it means that, hey, these are the people we are called to serve, just like Jesus did. So we need to really treat them with respect and humility and really give them like our presence and really try to build those relationships with those people, because again, they are people and they deserve that at the very least.
And also, it's a privilege to have the ability to serve others. Mm-hmm. And I think we take that for granted. There's people who are literally trying to make it day to day just to survive, you know, whether it be health circumstances or family situations or whatever it might be. And I do want to go to a verse that I don't think was mentioned this morning, but Galatians 5, verses 13, for you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. That we have the freedom, and you and I sitting here are blessed to have that freedom to be able to serve others. Mm-hmm. It's a gift, it's a privilege, and one that shouldn't be taken lightly, again, in light of how many times it's used through Scripture and how many times we're called to serve. But it truly is a privilege.
I definitely agree.
So, in keeping with that, there's one more verse, and I know we used it just a few weeks ago, but I'm going to turn over to 1 Peter 4, verses 10, if I can find it here. So in 1 Peter 4:10, we actually used this in the stewardship class that Dad and I were teaching on Wednesday nights not that long ago. But I used this. I was using it to talk monetarily about different gifts that we had and how we could contribute to, you know, fund great works that the mm-hmm. church does. But First Peter 4:10 here, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You don't have to serve in the same way. And I think we split up men's and women's classes a lot, and there's always different. I know people in my family that, particularly my wife, that will say, oh, are we going to talk about the same thing in a women's class? But you know, because in the Church of Christ, the men do have more of the prominent speaking roles and things mm-hmm. like that we're called for. But there's a lot of ways to serve. Male or female, you're not boxed in really too much at all. There's a whole lot you can do. And if you're not comfortable talking to somebody or inviting them to a Bible study or conducting a Bible study, there's a lot of levels of service mm-hmm. that mean a whole lot. That if they're not done, people complain about. But if they are done,
exactly,
people say, man, that was awesome. Cleaning out a classroom, mm-hmm. right? Like walking up here, there's some stuff that probably needs cleaned up through some of these hallways. When people do that, and I know my mom has painstakingly done, you know, dug out dirt mm-hmm. out of the women's side of the baptistry.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk in there and saw that beforehand and then walk out afterwards, it's like, man, this looks really good. Mm-hmm. But that's something nobody ever sees that's, doesn't put you in emotional distress mm-hmm. over this is nerve-wracking or what right. I'm going to say to this person, but it's very much appreciated when it's done.
I think of, and typically it is women, not all the time, but typically the women who help, if we're having like a potluck or a meal, they'll typically walk out of service early and they'll make sure that if something needs to be kept warm or hot or like maybe reheated, they'll make sure that everything is hot and ready and good to go when everybody comes out of the auditorium and we're all ready to eat. And nobody ever really sees that because we're all still in the auditorium, we're worshiping, we're wrapping up, but they're out there, you know, doing this act of service.
Yeah, so that when people like me walk out, it's nice and warm and ready for us, and we can say, oh,
look. I didn't
say
that. I said when everybody else.
This just happened, yeah. But no, I do think, you know, we are called to use our gifts, whatever they may be, and use what you're comfortable with. And like we were talking about in the middle and high school class this morning, in your comfort level of doing things, I was trying to gauge, you know, for a leadership class, what are you comfortable doing? And I think an answer we got from one of our young people was, I think I could be pushed to do something like that.
With a little encouragement, a little bit of pressure.
Which was a great attitude for this young man to have. I won't say his name on air. I won't embarrass him. I'll do that next week. But a great attitude to say, I could be pushed to do this. Just right. Go one step further than maybe what I'm comfortable with.
And that's kind of going back to, like, we need to get out of our comfort zone. And it can be really hard to do that. But it should be getting out of our comfort zone and serving should really be invigorating to us as Christians. And that's going to bring me to one of our last points, which is serving awakens the church to its mission, which is service. Like, it is spreading the gospel, but we are called to serve. And I think you already mentioned, you know, the James 2 verse, you know, faith without works is dead. And that service is that action that accompanies our faith. So many times I feel like we're waiting for someone else to act whenever, you know, we see someone, it's like, oh, someone else will do it. So I'm going to actually throw out a term that I learned in a college sociology class. And it's bystander apathy, which is basically like, if a crime is committed and there's a crowd of people watching, it's easier to do nothing in the presence of other people because everyone always assumes that, oh, someone else will do this or someone else will get that. So when you go through like your, what is it? Like CPR training.
Use that as an example.
CPR training, they tell you if you're going up to this person and then they say, you know, if you're taking charge of the situation, you're supposed to point to someone and make eye contact and then you say, you, go call 911. You, go get an AED. So you have to give people specific jobs. Otherwise, people will just stand around and assume that someone else is going to act.
Absolutely. And I think leadership in the church can help facilitate those sort of things. And it is leadership's job, whether it be an elder or a deacon, to be able to say, look, this person I think has some skills. We're supposed to be on the lookout for those things. I was talking to people actually during service today. I don't want to admit that on air, but I guess I will. But
it's already
talking to a few different people during service to say, you know, who do you think would be right for this? Or do you think they would do? I'm trying to find people that I think would fit, you know, teaching schedules well, or what kind of jobs could we give them? Because I think people are willing if you say, here's a role for you and can I put you in it?
Well, especially if you go to them and say, hey, I noticed you're really good at this. I mean, that's how I ended up sitting in this chair. I was a guest on last season of the podcast and Parker came to me and he was like, hey, you did such a great job. Do you want to be a co-host next season? And ta-da, here I am. So it goes back to building those relationships. You have to have those relationships with people to see where people really shine. And it means so much to people when you're like, hey, I noticed that you're really good at this, or you really excel in this, or this is something that's a need, and I just think you would be so great in it. I would be more than willing, you know, to serve, yes, but like if somebody noticed something in me that could fill a need, how can you say no, really?
What better way to not only build unity, but also promote your service to others?
Exactly. I love it. I know we're getting close to time, and we've talked about service a whole lot on this podcast. I do want to just give a quick reminder, be mindful when you serve or when you're reaching out to those folks, and don't put yourself in an unsafe situation. I feel like I have to say that. My mom and dad listen to this podcast, so mom and dad, don't worry. I'm not going to be, you know, putting myself in unsafe situations. But just wanted to put that out there. When you serve, and this isn't saying, oh, you shouldn't do it or you shouldn't, but just be smart about it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for starting your week with us. We really are blessed to have you listen to our show here, and we'll see you later. Have a great week.
Just find one way you can serve somebody this week. That's the homework for this week, and until we meet again, God bless you all.
Bye, everyone.
This is After Sunday.